Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's welcome in Pete Rose, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Pete, thank you so much for joining us. And, boy, you just walked in on my partner talking about the Warriors and maybe teasing them tonight up to 19 or some stuff like that against Oklahoma City. I don't know, but you can weigh in on the Warriors Thunder tonight, or you can answer the question, is Willie Mays the greatest player you've ever seen in your lifetime?
Yeah, probably. Willie was great. Henry was great. Clemente was great. I played against Stan Musial. He's got great stats. But Willie's right up there, because Willie had defense, had speed, had offense, and he played in a bad ballpark for so many years. That probably cost him a lot of home runs. I know he hit 660 of them. But he'd easily had 700 if he'd have played in other ballparks.
Yeah, and it's remarkable. We were talking about Mike Trout earlier, and I said, Pete, if Trout doubles what he's done through his first 11 years, he still doesn't reach Willie Mays' career numbers in RBIs and home runs. How impressive was it that he was able to do it year after year after year?
Well, Willie was consistent, and he had a talent, and he was a showman. He was a perennial all-star, and what I liked about Willie is he always took time with young players. You know, he used to talk to me when I was a young player, and he was always a very positive talker and thinker when he was a player. And every superstar should be like Willie Mays.
Pete, we were talking about signature plays, you know, in all sports. And for me, I didn't get to see in real time Willie Mays, but the catch was something I've tried to mimic. All my friends did. When you look at that over the basket catch Willie made, do you think that gets its proper due? Like, where does that rank on your greatest catches? Because I know you've seen a lot. Where does that rank?
Well, it's right up there. I mean, Willie made a lot of great plays. I remember one time he was playing center, and Bonds was playing right, Bobby Bonds. And they had that collision out right center. You ever seen that play?
I haven't.
Yeah. Have not.
They both were stretched out, and I think Willie made that catch too, and he had a big collision with Bobby Bonds. But he still hit onto the ball. But Willie was an aggressive outfielder. He had a good arm. But more importantly, Willie knew how to play the game. You know, he's not one of them guys that would make stupid errors or throw the wrong base or miss the cutoff man. I mean, Willie was fundamentally sound. And when you're fundamentally sound and you have all that talent, you got to be successful. And, you know, Willie appreciates the fact that he had the other Willie coming up after him. You know, most good players have good people coming up after him, or good people going before them. Yeah. You know, it's just like Mickey Mantle had Maris. Eddie Matthews had Henry Aaron. So, you know, there's a lot of great players, but they need a support system. And I think Willie McCovey gave Willie a lot of support just by sitting in that on-deck circle when they were throwing the ball to Willie Mays.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, I'll apologize for my young host. Clearly doesn't remember one of the greatest catches of all time you picking up Bob Boone in the 81 World Series, right, against the Royals when Boone, he dropped
80,
that foul pop-up?
80.
80. Okay, I'm knocking on the door. But you remember that play, right?
Oh, yeah, that was just a matter of a guy being aggressive. I mean, I'm one of those guys that thinks every time a ball's hit, everybody's got something to do. Everybody's got to move a certain way. And that ball was on the first base side, yep, over by the dugout. We both got there. The only problem, I was a little later because till this day, I don't think, I did a thing with Booney about a month ago. I don't think he understands that the bases were loaded. And because of that, I wasn't holding a runner on. I was about 15 feet, behind the bag. And that's what took me so long to get there. But the ball popped out of his glove, and I'm there to catch it. You know, I didn't look at that as a great play. It's just doing your job and going to the ball and being in the right place at the right time. You know, I remember one time I'm playing in Atlanta, and Alex Johnson is playing left, and the ball was out. They used to have the temporary fence, and it wasn't very tall, and Alex jumped up and swatted with his glove and brought the ball back in, and I was in center field, and I was standing there and caught the ball just because I was there. You know, one thing you don't want to be when you're a player is a spectator. That's not going to get you anywhere. You know, you got to be moving. You got to be going toward the ball because that little white rat will find you no matter where you're on the baseball field.
You talked about the two Willies, and Pete Rose joins us here on 95.7 The Game. You remember, obviously, some of your great Cincinnati teammates, but playing with Willie in the All-Star game, it seemed like an annual thing for you guys. How great was that to be alongside Willie in those moments?
Well, I remember my first All-Star game, and that was in Minneapolis, 1965. And as you know, when you go to an All-Star game, you always go the day before, you know, to make sure the uniforms are there and the bats were shipped and everything like that in the workout. And I'll never forget, the game was in Minneapolis, and my locker was between Willie and Henry. And I'm a rookie. No, this is my third year, but I'm a rookie for the All-Star game. And I just slapped myself in the jaw and said, what the hell am I doing here? And the great thing about both of those guys is they treated me like I was one of the guys. You know, and when you're a young player and you're in the same locker room with Mays and Aaron and Clemente and those guys, and they make you feel at home, it's very important to you. And I tried to do the same thing later on in my life because I was lucky enough to play in 17 of those All-Star games. And the only one we lost, and I think both of them were in that game, was the one in Detroit in 71. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there were 28 Hall of Famers in that All-Star game.
Wow.
That was obviously a lot of Hall of Famers.
That was obviously the Reggie Jackson homer off Doc Ellis, right? Off the light tower.
That ball hit the transformer on top of the stadium. That damn thing would have went out of Yellowstone Park.
Pete, you and Willie made the game. You made the game of baseball to me, and I got to get this off my chest, and you tell me what you think. What do you see now? And if I had a chance to talk to Willie, I'd ask him the same thing, because I can't stand these cockamamie, you know, three-batter rule, the seven-inning doubleheader, the runner on second. What are we doing to the game? And I feel like it's a slap in the fans' face, yeah. Yeah. And guys like you that built this game. Share with us what you see now.
Well, I can't remember in the last 10 years a rule change that's helped the game. It don't help the game you can't break up a double play. It don't help the game that you can't run into a catcher if he's blocking the plate. It don't help the game if you can't pitch inside. You know, I know you don't want to be a headhunter, but you got to be able to pitch inside, and that opens up the outside part of the plate. I have no idea why you started an extra inning game with a man on second base. I mean, The one rule that baseball should try to do is speed up the game. They don't do anything that they tell you they got a clock. I've never seen that called. Okay? You have so darn many pitching changes today, you're going to have long games. You're going to have. And I'm going to tell you another thing about baseball. And I follow this religiously. Okay? I watch three games every day. I live in Las Vegas. And the early game started 10 or 11 in the morning. The night game started 7, and the Midwest game started 3 or 4. So there's just so many home runs hit today. I mean, I'm tired of home runs. I'm tired of pitchers not being able. And if you watch baseball, which I know you guys do, you will be amazed how many runs in baseball, Major League Baseball, today are scored in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, because very few teams have good middle relief pitching. What is middle relief pitching? Okay, it's guys that aren't good enough to start, and it's guys that aren't good enough to close. But you got to have them on the pitching staff. Okay, everybody's got starters can go 5 or 6, and everybody's got a closer. But it's the team with the best middle relief pitching are the teams that's going to go to the playoffs and eventually get to the World Series.
Yeah. Pete Rose joining us on.
Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Totally.
It absolutely makes sense. No doubt about it. And we're joined by the legend, Pete Rose, on Willie Mays' 90th birthday. Hey, I'm looking at Willie's stats, Pete. Could he have – I know he led the league in stolen bases 4 years, but could he did guys not steal as much as they could have back then? Was there a certain protocol that kept a guy from running all the time?
Mario Wills stole bases. Ricky Henderson stole bases. But I played with a couple guys who stole bases. One of them was Joe Morgan, the late Joe Morgan, the greatest, okay? Joe Morgan was great because Joe Morgan – when he stole a base, it meant something to the game. And when he stole a base, everybody at the ballpark, everybody in the dugouts, the pitcher on the mound, the catcher catching the pitcher on the mound, knew he was going to steal, and he still stole the base. He was amazing. You know, Ricky just stole bases to steal bases. Willie didn't steal bases to try to steal 100. Willie tried to steal bases to get in position to score runs. That's why Willie. That's back in the 60s and 70s. You know, that's Maury Wills. He stole bases to steal 100 bases. He was like a Ricky Henderson. But today, guys don't steal bases. Anytime you can steal a base and get in score position, you're going to help the team. Okay? You're going to help the team because guys don't pay attention to base runners today. Very few guys get thrown out today. You watch it. Yeah. Okay, it's easy to steal bases today, but yet no one does it because you're sitting there waiting for a 2 or 3 run home run. That's the way the game's played today. And they're happy. I'm talking about the players. Why? Because they're all making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So no one's going to change the game because everyone seems to be happy with it. The only people who aren't happy with it are the fans. And I learned a long time ago, baseball don't give a shit about the fans. They just change rules and do everything where the people who played baseball in the 40s and 50s, 60s and 70s are saying, what's going on? Why are they playing the game like this? You know, I watched a game in Cincinnati the other day. They had 10 home runs in the game. I watched a game the other day in Chicago with the Dodgers. 2 guys in that game for the Dodgers knocked in 15 runs in the same game.
Yeah, and Pete Rose joined us. Yeah. Fifth, and we saw our third no-hitter, Pete. So it's the true 3 outcomes. And, you know, the no-hitter now has been watered down as well. And it's almost as if, you know, you don't need to steal second base because you just wait till the 10th inning and they give you second base without even having to use an at-bat.
And here's another thing. Okay, when's the last time you guys watched a game that went into extra innings and they put a guy at second and the manager bunted him over? I haven't seen it happen yet.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you bunt the guy over and get him to third with less than 2 outs? Now the infield pulls in. Now a 200 hitter becomes a 300 hitter. A 300 hitter becomes a 400 hitter. Believe me when I tell you guys, it's easier to hit with a man on third and less than 2 outs than it is to hit with a man on second, no outs. Because everybody changes positioning where they're playing. They bring everybody in. All you got to do is hit the ball and you score a run, you win the game. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Pete, let me run this by you. I have a dream outfield of Roberto Clemente and Wright. Willie Mays in center, and his godson Barry Bonds in left. To that outfield, you say what?
I got to put Hank Aaron somewhere. Okay. Hank Aaron's got 2,200 RBIs and 755 home runs. See, that's why when I pick a team, I can't pick outfielders. Because what about Ty Cobb, 367 lifetime batting average? What about the other guy, George Herman, Babe Ruth, the greatest baseball player ever to play the game of baseball? How do you leave him off the team? What about Stan Musial? How do you leave him off the team? I mean, there's so many great outfielders. Okay, it's easy to pick second base or shortstop. Okay, let me ask you guys a question. See how talented you guys are as far as history of baseball. I think you're pretty good. You guys know what you're talking about. Who's the greatest shortstop in the history of baseball?
Boy, that's a great question.
I'm going to go Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken? He's not even on the list. Okay? Here's my list.
Jeter.
The winningest shortstop in the history of baseball would be a guy named Derek Jeter. Okay? Statistic-wise, the other guy I would say is the greatest shortstop. He won Gold Gloves, has over 2,000 runs scored, and has over 2,000 RBIs.
Ernie Banks.
Okay. Nope. Ernie played first a lot. Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Alex was a shortstop until he went to the Yankees. He won Gold Gloves with Seattle and with Texas. And he's got 696 home runs. So he's almost got 700 home runs, over 2,000 RBIs, and over 2,000 runs scored. Those are pretty good stats for a shortstop.
Yeah, they are.
How much does the taint of being a two-time failed steroid guy affect your judgment when you look at the greatest? Because, Pete, the era you played in, it was you and the pitcher and maybe some push-ups. There wasn't all this other stuff that the players do now.
Well, but I'm not, you know, I made my mistakes. I'm not going to sit here and criticize Barry or criticize. You just put Barry Bonds on your all-time team. And to my knowledge, he took steroids. Maybe he didn't. He says he didn't. I'll believe him. I'm not here to second guess. Barry Bonds is a friend of mine. And when I played against him in Pittsburgh, he was a great ball player. And he was a great ball player in San Francisco. You know, when you think about, let me tell you guys something, and you just can't get this across to athletes today. When you think about the guy with the most hits and the guy with the most home runs, what did Barry Bonds and Pete Rose have in common?
They both got blackballed.
No, well, I mean, I'm talking about on the field. You know what it is? We both choked up on the bat.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
But guys today are too macho to choke up.
Wow. Interesting.
I mean, choking up helped Barry Bonds. He's the all-time home run leader. Choking up helped me. I'm the all-time hit leader.
Right.
So it's not good enough for these guys today. That's why they strike out so much. They have no back control. Aren't you guys tired of watching strikeouts?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got me thinking about Rod Carew and Tony Gwynn as well. The great guys are choking up.
Well, if Tony Gwynn was alive today, if Rod Carew was around today, and if I was around today, and we give a hitting clinic, guys today would shake their head and said, what the hell are they talking about? Because they're not worried about hitting a single, a double, a triple. Okay, I just soon have a single when a man on second, third is a solo home run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pete, I know it's Willie's 90th, but you just celebrated your 80th. So I just want to say on behalf of all of us out here, happy birthday. And, man, you're sounding great, Pete. How you feeling?
I feel great, and I hope Willie Mays goes to be 100. Okay? Because I got the utmost respect for Buck. Buck was great to young players. And all the young players that he saw in the 60s, 70s, when he was around, we all appreciate what Willie not only did for the game when he played, but how he helped the game by helping young players, okay, when he'd be around the batting cage at Candlestick or be around the batting cage in Philadelphia when I played for the Phillies or when I played for the Reds all those years in Cincinnati. You know, I remember one night Gary Nolan struck out 18 San Francisco Giant guys, and I think he struck out Willie five times that night.
Mm.
which is okay because I struck out five times in a game.
Hey,
I mean, I don't think Ray Charles has struck out five times in a game. But I did, and let me tell you something. Four of the five were foul tips, believe it or not.
Oh,
it was off a guy named Ray Culp from Philadelphia, C-U-L-P.
Oh.
He struck me out five times in a game. I hate him.
Hey, you're talking about choking up. I mean, all guys who choked up must answer to Felix Mian. Come on.
You know what? Let me tell you something. This is true. We had a party in New York. When I say we, the Big Red Machine. And we went to the ballpark the next day, and Nino Espinosa was pitching. And he struck me out on three pitches. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Okay? So I was a little tired. So I choked up the next time up. This is no lie. The next three times I hit home runs, and I got five or six in that game, but struck out the first time up. And I got three home runs off of Nino Espinosa, Marty Conejo, and Butch Metzger. But
nice.
I got five hits in that game. That's the day, 1978, that I start choking up.
Well,
so I went 15 years. I went 15 years without choking up.
Yeah. Well, Felix Mian choked up for you. That's what I'm
And
saying.
I'm getting a little choked up just hearing all these memories, Pete, all these old names.
Well, I played against him. I did it. I've been there. I did that. I got great memories for all the good things and some of the bad things that happened to me. You know, but just like me striking out, Willie bounced back. Willie Mays was, he was fun to watch.
Yeah.
He was fun to watch. He was fun to watch come out of the dugout the way he strutted. Do you know what I mean? No one could strut like Willie Mays.
Mm.
You know, the way he walked, you know, half pigeon tone. I mean, Willie was the best. I mean, we called him Buck. I mean, I could sit here all day and talk about Buck. I mean, he was the only thing bad about me and Buck, I didn't play on the same team with him. Because he'd have loved for me to hit in front of him. It's just like when Joe Morgan came to Cincinnati. I looked at Joe and I said, Joe, let me ask you a question. We got him from Houston, right? I said, Joe, do you like to hit when the pitcher's in the stretch? He said, hell yeah, everybody does. I said, well, you see that door over there at Sparky Anderson's office? I said, you go in there and tell Sparky you want to hit after me.
Hey, Pete.
And the next day, he was in second.
Pete, I got to ask you this question, man. We've had you on a few times, and I never got to it, but my pops wanted to ask you about the 1978 All-Star Game where the National League used juice balls in batting practice to scare the American League. Did that actually happen?
Oh, yeah, that was in San Diego. I don't know what year it was, but it was here in San Diego when the game was in San Diego. Whitey Wiedemann was the clubhouse guy. He used to be at Cincinnati. Red coach, when we come out for BP and all the American Leaguers is watching the home run hitters we had on the team, and Whitey brought these hard Japanese balls out for batting practice. And those guys were at Raymond James, is that the name of the ballpark? They were hitting them in the second deck, and the American Leaguers over there, what the hell we got into? Then it was time for them to hit. They used National League baseballs that were dead, and they could barely hit it over the fence. You talk about intimidation. That was intimidation. Whitey Wiedemann was the one that did that.
Hey,
I remember
Pete,
like it was yesterday. And we had some big poppers, too. And they were hitting them in the second deck over there in San Diego. And the American Leaguers were shaking their head and saying, what the hell have we got into here?
Hey, Pete, back in the day, I heard it was Mickey or Willie, Willie or Mickey in New York. You were either one or the other. Is there any way to explain kind of how those two were in different leagues but in the same city? And then, were you a Mays or Mantle guy?
No, because I never played against Mickey except spring training, and that's when he named me Charlie Hustle. That was over in Fort Lauderdale where the Yankees trained, and I trained in Tampa. Okay, and I was a non-roster player, so my day was done. I'm a rookie in spring training. And we had a coach named Mike Reba. He said, well, go do your running and stick around because you got to wait for the bus. We got to go back to Tampa. It's a four-hour bus ride. So I sat on the bench, and all of a sudden they need a pinch runner. and Hutch, the manager, put me in, and the guy hit a base hit about 5 feet to the left of the left fielder, and I went from first to third and went in head first. The next guy popped up to short left, and Tony Kubek was backpedaling, and nobody going to be backpedaling and throw my ass out at home. So I went in the home head first, and we won the game 2-1. And after the game, Mickey was in there talking to Whitey, and he said, did you see that Charlie Hustle beat us? And the next day in the New York paper, Charlie Hustle beats Yanks. That's how I got that name.
I didn't know that.
Great
wow.
story.
True story.
Huh.
And we can't verify it because Mickey and Whitey are both gone.
Right. We trust you.
Story.
We trust you, Pete.
Okay. So hey. if I'd have got dressed and went waited for the bus, I'd have never got to go from first to third and from third to home and do head first slides.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I had nowhere to go. I had to wait for the bus.
You could have gone to the. You told me that you got a couple dog track visits in when you were down in Florida during spring
training. That was free training. That was every night. Every night, every player went to the dog track. Mm. You know, whether you were at Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa, Dunedin, Joe Torre used to go every night. You know, but Bill Giles. Okay, I think Bill Giles. He was my guy at Philly.
Philly, yeah.
I think he's the reason that these racetracks have 15 to 20 minutes in between races, because he would have more combinations. It took him that long to figure out if he had a winner or not.
Maybe next week we'll call you back and get your Preakness picks, Pete.
Yeah, well.
There you go.
I want the Derby winner to win the Preakness.
Yeah, what a ride
in the
Derby.
I'm a Bob Baffert fan. I mean, I don't know why I didn't bet on Bob Baffert at 12-1 in the Derby.
Wire to wire, Pete.
Seven of them, Jiminy. I mean, the guy knows how to train. He knows, and he's got good stock. He's got a lot of millionaires in his corner.
Yeah. Nice. Ah, Pete, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Some great stuff on Willie Mays, and we love catching up with you, man.
Well, if you talk to Buck, tell him I said happy birthday.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, because
thanks,
he's the
Pete.
Best. Yeah. He's the best, all right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's Pete Rose.